It all starts with a root.
Oh, Johnny, go!
An organism.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A living, breathing feeling.
Bring on to the other side.
A being that comes to life.
Right, sugar.
This living, breathing being is rock and roll. And this is Roots of Rock, podcast edition. Here's your host, John Tompkins.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock, the Christmas 2017 edition. Christmas. I was thinking the other day about how excited I was to do the Roots of Rock Christmas show this year. And then I started to think back about how much I used to really hate Christmas. I was a Grinch, a total Grinch. I did not get into the spirit at all. And I think that there are two factors that have converted me into a Christmas guy. What's the opposite of a Grinch? Un-Grinch? A non-Scrooge? I don't know. Anyway, the first was most definitely my wife. She is a Christmas nut. Hey, there it is. The opposite of a Grinch. It's a Christmas nut. I digress. She loves Christmas, and it's hard to be around someone who is so excited and into something and not have it rub off on you. And the second reason why I'm into Christmas is because of my kids. I mean, what kid is not excited about Christmas? And to be around them, again, it's contagious. So now that I'm a Christmas nut, I've fully embraced Christmas music. And the thing with Christmas music is that most of the stuff we know as Christmas music originated a long time ago. And I think in the days of old, it was a little more accepted to have a certain level of cheesiness in pop culture in general. In fact, it was probably the norm. And there's a certain suspension of belief that life was this beautiful thing and people did nothing but frolic on snow-covered hills, dusted in icing sugar, and go for romps in one-horse open sleighs. Right? But no one would write a song like that today. At least not seriously. So Christmas music always kind of has that same cheesy feeling to it, doesn't it? And if you are like I used to be, you probably can't stand that crap. It probably angers you, and it's hard to believe that anyone could accept such ridiculousness. But if you ever allow your cold, shriveled, Grinch heart to melt and accept that cheesiness and let it wash over you, once you embrace the cheesiness, your mind will allow you to accept a whole world of music that you would not previously have allowed into your life. Case in point, Lemmy Kilmister, Dave Grohl, and Billy Gibbons doing a Christmas cover of a Chuck Berry song.
Run, run, Rudolph, Santa gotta make it to town.
That was a one-time supergroup that got together to record that one song for a 2008 album called We Wish You a Metal Christmas and a Headbanging New Year. And when you look up the list of other people who've covered that song, it's a staggering list. LA Guns, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Keith Richards, Brian Adams, Brian Setzer Orchestra, Billy Idol, the list goes on and on. And that song was written by Chuck Berry, but it's essentially just Johnny B. Goode with different lyrics, which I guess was kind of the point, just a way to Christmasify it. Is that a word? Christmasify? Anyway, you can be the hardest rock and roller on the planet, completely jaded and cynical about Christmas, but you cannot deny that when Lemmy did a cover of a song, it was instantly cool.
Who'd win in a wrestling match, Lemmy or God?
Lemmy.
God.
Wrong. A trick question. Lemmy is God.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, who else can wear denim shorts that short, have a mustache and a cowboy hat, and somehow make it cool? Who? Who, I ask you? No one. That's who. So, now that Lemmy has established that rock and roll Christmas songs are cool for us, let's move on, shall we? I had a chance to speak with legendary broadcaster Howard Manshine. Howard has been a staple on rock radio in Winnipeg for decades. This guy has lived rock and roll. Really cool and interesting guy, and super knowledgeable in the rock world. I spoke with him earlier in the week, and we had a conversation where I got his thoughts on the passing of Malcolm Young and what that means to the rock world. We are happy and honored today to be joined by a legend in the broadcasting world, especially in Canada and Winnipeg specifically. His name is Howard Manshine, and he's on 92.1 City FM in Winnipeg. Howard, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you for asking me to join you today.
Well, like I say, it's an honor, and we're happy to have you on the show. We wanted to talk to you about Malcolm Young, who died recently, and get your perspective on what he meant to the rock world.
Malcolm Young defined AC/DC sound. The band is first and foremost a rhythm machine, and he had this distinctive chop, and that was a part of their identity. He had a drive and a reinforcement. He was the guy that co-founded the band. He was the guy that forged a sound for the band. He was the master of discipline and economy, and he understood that he wasn't the star. He did not want to be the star. The star was the singer and his brother Angus. He got that early on. He knew what his role was.
Now that's interesting. Can you speak a little more to the fact that you alluded to there about his Malcolm's guitar playing sounding different from his brother's and the separation of roles where he had the rhythm and Angus played the lead? How important was that to AC/DC sound?
The rhythm and guitarist takes the role that, I don't want to say does the boring things. It's the unshowy stuff that enables the lead player to unleash the magical solos. He got that. He understood what his role was. And he was that heartbeat of the band, the very core of the band's sound. He knew what he can do, and he was the master of making as little as necessary do as much as possible. So basically, low impact, high input, so to speak. He understood that a great riff didn't need a gazillion components. He understood, keep it simple. Keep it simple. It needs clarity. It needs clarity. And if you watch what AC/DC did, you'll see his brother did the magic, did the, I guess, I don't want to say showmanship, but that was his role. He allowed his brother, again, as we said, and the singer to do their thing. The utter discipline of the riffs. The only showing off allowed when it was time for Angus's solos. And he got that. He got it.
Mistress for Christmas was from AC/DC's 12th studio album, The Razor's Edge. Also, the first AC/DC album I personally ever owned, and probably my introduction to truly hard rock and roll. Many days in the dressing room at hockey practice with that album blasting through the ghetto blaster. By the way, the full interview with Howard Manshine, you can go check that out on the last podcast episode that I posted. It's called the AC/DC bonus episode. Really cool, interesting conversation. Check it out. Now, back to that Razor's Edge album for a minute. That album was the one that really brought AC/DC back to the form that they'd reached in the late 70s and early 80s that a lot of people would argue are their best years. The Razor's Edge went 5 times platinum in the U.S. and hit number 4 in the U.K. in September of 1990. But about 12 years before that, in 1978, for those of you who may be mathematically challenged. Thin Lizzy frontman Phil Lynott recruited a bunch of his buddies, including Steve Jones and Paul Cook from the Sex Pistols, Gary Moore, Phil's bandmate in Thin Lizzy, Scott Gorham, Chris Spedding, one of England's great studio musicians at the time, and Jimmy Bain, who was the bassist for Dio. In other words, a pretty amazing 70s supergroup at the time. They only played 4 gigs together before breaking up, or disbanding, or just going their own separate ways. But they named themselves The Greedies, and one of their songs was called A Merry Jingle. It was a mashup of We Wish You a Merry Christmas and Jingle Bells.
Wish you a Merry Christmas. Wish you a Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock. Today, we're celebrating the beginning of the 2017 holiday season, rock and roll style. As usual, we're going to try to learn something cool along the way, listen to some good music, and this time, get into the holiday spirit. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out which rock and roll Christmas song is pretty much unanimously voted the worst Christmas song ever made.
You're listening to Roots of Rock, podcast edition.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock. And I hope, dear listeners of Roots of Rock, that you are not Bon Jovi fans, because if you are, you're not going to like this next part. I mentioned before the break that we find out which song is consistently voted onto the worst Christmas songs of all time. Not the worst rock and roll Christmas songs, just the worst songs of all time. I mean, just do a quick Google search and you'll see that Bon Jovi's Backdoor Santa shows up on just about everyone's list of the worst Christmas songs ever made. I debated whether to subject you to the whole thing or not, but I'm just not that cruel. So here's a little clip. It's pretty bad, I gotta admit. But the thing is with that song is that it's a cover, and Bon Jovi aren't the only ones to have covered that song. The Black Crowes did a cover of it. The band Jet from Australia, they did a cover. And Run DMC, they even sampled the original for their song, Christmas in Hollis. Listen to the horns in this little clip.
My name's DMC with the mic in my hand, and I'm chilling and cooling just like a snowman. So open your eyes, lend us an ear. We want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year!
All right, keep the horn section specifically from that clip. Keep that in mind when we play the original. The original is a soulful blues-style song, and a guy named Clarence Carter released it in 1968. And it's the kind of thing that we really love on Roots of Rock. It takes us back to the old days, back to the origins of rock and roll. This wasn't watered down, just a 12-bar blues format, jazzed up to make it have a little soul.
Santa, I make my runs about the break of day. They call me Backdoor Santa. I make my runs.
Backdoor Santa by Clarence Carter. And there's the type of song that a band like AC/DC really picked up from. 12-bar blues, full of innuendo, and a butt-shaking groove. Sounds about right, right? Add in some distorted guitars and some screechy, growly vocals. Make that backbeat rock and roll, and you got yourself an AC/DC song. Now let's take our time travel machine and fast forward back to the future here a little bit. October 29th, 2013. The most unlikely of bands released a collection of Christmas Carol covers. I was a little bit suspicious at first, but the funny thing is, the three-part harmonies and insanely catchy melodies of Christmas carols, they really fit right in with what Bad Religion does best. A song here coming up that actually takes its music from an old English ballad called Skewball. And Skewball is the story of an old English thoroughbred racing horse from the 1700s whose name was Skewball. He won a lot of races and sort of became a legend in his day. And one race in particular, which was a come from behind win, was so good that people actually started writing songs about this horse. The songs themselves became legendary and just became a part of English lore. And so we ended up with an old English ballad that became a part of the folk legend. And a lot of people did versions of this old English ballad. Guys like Woody Guthrie and Leadbelly in a little more modern times. And now even if you don't know that actual song, you will almost certainly recognize a much, much more well-known version of this song. It's a Christmas song. And it's entirely based on that old English ballad. The music and the melody are all from that old English ballad, but just the lyrics have been changed. Check it out. I'm going to play you a clip of a more modern version of the ballad and see if you can figure out how the lyrics were changed and what song it became.
Oh, Skewball was a racehorse.
Got it yet? Does it sound familiar? Can you put your finger on it? One more time, and if you're with someone, take a guess. See who can get it right first.
Oh, Skewball was a racehorse, and I wish.
You got it yet? You got it figured out? In 1972, John Lennon took that English ballad, Skewball, and made it into a political protest anthem called Happy Christmas, War is Over. Now, that song and melody are almost known exclusively as the John Lennon version, at least over North America. And everyone and their dog has done a version of the John Lennon song, including Shinedown in 2006.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and the new one just begun. And so this is Christmas.
That version kind of reminds me of the version of Sound of Silence that Disturbed did. You know, the singers both have amazing voices, but even when they're singing softly at the start, there's a bit of the prelude to the heaviness that's about to come. And the story behind that song is what we'd love to do on Roots of Rock. We'd love to trace those influences and origins of the music that we love. That song has origins all the way back to the 1700s. I mean, literally, the music and melody for that song were invented before batteries existed. And now, listen to that version we just heard. It's incredible. And hey, I know that listening to this show on the podcast version, you may feel a little bit ripped off of the music sometimes. I just give you a little taste and then I got to fade it down, especially with a song like that where it just starts to get heavy. I don't have a choice. I wish I could play the full versions. We're working on it and maybe one day we can, but it's all due to internet copyright issues, blah, 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 blah. But hey, if you have any questions, concerns, comments, you want to find out one of the songs that I played, you want to get deeper into it, you want to tell me a story about it, shoot me an email at rootsofrock@rci.rogers.com. I'd love to connect with you. Now, in 2017, we lost a lot of greats in the rock world. And on this episode, I'm not going to dwell too much on that because I've got a show planned for next month in the beginning of January where I'll do a recap of all things rock related from 2017. But that being said, we did lose Tom Petty in 2017, and he wrote a great and maybe underrated, catchy rock and roll Christmas song.
Well, it's Christmas time again. Decorations are hung by the fire. Everybody's singing. All the bells are ringing.
Tom Petty. There's never going to be another one quite like him. He will be missed. Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and thanks for joining me on this Christmas 2017 edition of Roots of Rock. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from a band that just may have influenced Bad Religion to do their punk version of some Christmas songs. And no, we're not talking about the Ramones this time. Stick around to find out who it is.
Roots of Rock with Sean Tompkins. Podcast edition.
We are going to end the 2017 Christmas edition of Roots of Rock with a couple of Christmas rockers that will make you tap your foot. I guarantee it. That is pure Christmas gold, my friends. And I guaranteed that you would tap your foot, didn't I? And you did, didn't you? If you didn't, you're either A, lying, or B, dead. So go see your doctor and get yourself checked out. You have no soul. One more to finish the show today. This song was easily this band's most popular single. It went platinum on release. Noddy Holder, the principal songwriter, came home from a night at the bar and wanted to write a Christmas song. He was living in London at the time, and England was in real dire straits economically in the early 70s, so he wanted to write something happy and uplifting. This song doesn't get a ton of play here in North America, but it is a staple in clubs and on the radio in the UK at Christmas time.
So here it is.
That is one catchy song and should also make you tap your foot. It's the perfect way to end another edition, another year of Roots of Rock. And I want to thank all you for listening. I have a ton of fun doing this show, and I hope that you have as much fun listening as I do making the show. And thanks to everyone for the support around the station here, all the crew at 106.7 Rock for the help on the production and promotion of this show, Alex Zaretsky, Ann Jacques, Christy Ross and Mark Nesgar. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. And if you're listening to this here, then you are listening to it on the podcast version of Roots of Rock. So a special thanks to you for going out of your way to find it, download, subscribe, listen to it, however you get it. One small favor I want to ask you if you are a podcast listener. I find that a lot of people I've talked to are actually still intimidated by podcasting. It sounds strange and too technical for them. You obviously know how easy it is to find it. It's a click on your phone, maybe a download of an app, and then a quick search and a subscribe or a download. So please share that with anybody else you think might be interested. It would help me out a lot. I have tons of cool stuff planned for the new year and even a new episode coming out in 2 weeks, which is a new feature we're going to call. It's kind of like the bonus episode that we did last podcast. It's going to be called the Roots of Rock Monthly Jam Session. It's going to be a lot of stuff for me, full feature interviews, whatever, all kinds of cool stuff that I come up with, and plus a bunch of other people from within the Rogers Rock Radio family that are going to contribute. So stay tuned. It's going to be great. Once again, feel free to reach out to me on my email, rootsofrock@rci.rogers.com. I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock. Merry Christmas.